Welcome to Become Nomad podcast. Whether you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one, we're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road, at least until you find God and settle down. This time, my regards from Israel, where I'm back to spend the holidays with the family. So it's always good to be home. I have to say that also it's kind of a point that every time you go back home from a nomadic wave, kind of have to face the realities of what could have been if you stayed and didn't take this lifestyle in comparison to what you've got, which can be a little bit confusing at times. What I recommend for those of you who are visiting home, and I do recommend visiting home as often as you can to see the family, is to basically have all your routines in place, not to be too much confused about what you're going to do during your stay home and so on. So one day after, in my case, I'm starting with co-working, with meetings that I've set up in advance with friends and so on, to keep the stability also at the time when you're taking a break from being a nomad for a short time. I'm still don't know what is the next destination, by the way, that is something I'm thinking about now. And basically the topic for today is a little bit different. It's also a little bit religious. So here you have a warning in advance. The idea is that we have our holidays here, and I identified one holiday that is called Yom Kippur that I think is a very nomadic holiday. And I'm going to explain in this episode why do I think that, based on the rituals and the mindset of the holiday. I'll just say as an introduction that I'm basically kind of I'm an atheist, actually. So I'm not that much into my religion or, to be honest, any religion in particular. However, I do think that religions and the wisdom that is gathered through religions, because they're around for thousands of years, can be extremely useful, and we should not ignore them, even if we do not see the reality as they dictate it, let's say. So in my case, I'm always trying to identify, not only in the Jewish religions, but also in other religions, some rituals, customs, and philosophies that can be beneficial for me and connect well with the nomadic lifestyle. Yom Kippur is a perfect example, and I hope this post will be valuable for you. Okay, so the topic for today, as we mentioned before, is Yom Kippur, spirituality, and practical rituals. So this blog deals a lot with the topic of non-attachment, which is a must for a nomadic lifestyle. And we will now turn to Judaism's holiest day. And I think this day has a lot of insights about this topic. The holiest day name is Yom Kippur, which I actually view as a Sabbath on steroids. So basically the idea over here is that it appears that the mindset and some of the rituals performed on Yom Kippur are highly beneficial for everyone, actually. So I would like to share some of those. So let's go over what Yom Kippur is all about. So in Hebrew, basically Yom Kippur means Day of Atonement, or Day of Repentance. Yom is day, and Kippur is atonement. Now, this day lasts for 25 hours, and during this time, you can't eat, you can't drink, which is the toughest part, by the way. You can't work, of course, think about work as well, and you can't drive. And you have a lot more prohibitions if you're more religious. So the idea over here is that refraining from those activities symbolically represent a return to a pristine state. Okay, so basically the idea is that you're referring from basically everything. Yom Kippur is also, on the religious level, the day where your yearly book of life that basically controls your destiny for the year to come closes or seals. So that's the day where every big decision for the next year is kind of defined for you. And this pushes you into action like a deadline that you can't miss. Just to give an example, Jews are greeting each other with Chatima Tova before Yom Kippur, which basically means may your seal be good. So it's that critical. I have to say that Yom Kippur is by far my favorite day of the year, since it can lead to a real change. As I mentioned before in the introduction, I would probably practice Yom Kippur even if I wasn't a Jewish atheist, because I really view this as a giant reset button. And I like reset buttons, that's why I kind of practice the nomadic lifestyle. And this reset button is basically allowing you to restart and recalibrate your life. Now, a word of warning, my interpretation of the rituals of Yom Kippur are not the mainstream Jewish interpretation, which is a little bit looking at the day as a very a difficult day, a day where you feel kind of bad, a day of suffering in a way. This is the way I viewed it up to a few years ago, when I kind of dove a little bit deeper into the layers of philosophy that it involves, and I saw that it's actually a lot more of that. It's actually a day of celebration. And that's where I started my, love story with this day. Yeah, basically, let's start moving on to some of the points that are relevant to the understanding of this day and that are very relevant to my life. So the first ritual of Yom Kippur, or the first custom, is asking for forgiveness. So you have a few practical steps here. You basically have to set aside a few minutes before the holiday begins. And then you choose a time where you have a clear mind and a good mood. And then you just make a list out of memory or thinking about all the bad things that happened this year of the people who deserve an apology from you. Usually I make another list of the people that I have a little bit of a tense relationship with, regardless of whose fault it is, and to have those lists of the people I wronged and also of the people where I have a little bit of tense relationship with. And then basically you just send an email or create a phone call with those people. What you do is you ask for forgiveness from the people you've wronged and that you know you've wronged them. You also acknowledge the pain shared with the people from the second list, that it's not really clear whose fault it was, but still there was a little bit of pain and suffering involved, just to show that you care. Now, the benefits of this ritual is, there are a few benefits actually. It gives you a fresh start and a closure for your past conflicts. So asking to be forgiven is actually a very good move toward yourself, to forgive yourself in a way, not to keep things open inside of you, which is important. Nevertheless, it also results in the improvement of your relationship with the important people that will surround you next year as well. So you have two great benefits there. Now, other than the materialistic benefits or the spiritual benefits, the forgiveness ritual actually helps developing some skills that I find very beneficial. So the first skill over here is awareness and the ability to think retrospectively about the mistakes you've done in the past. You know, so usually we're very future and present oriented, taking a little bit of time trying to analyze situations that happened, trying to figure out what happened and how could they've been avoided, and trying to also understand if someone was hurt in the process, which is something that usually we neglect thinking about. This is a skill, and it's a valuable skill of analysis that I think it's pretty great. This skill also creates a good skill that is empathy, the ability to figure out what the other people are thinking about, how are they feeling. This is basically what being empathetic means. And the idea is very simple. We can bulldoze our way through life, which kind of sometimes leads to a lot of moments that we don't understand what really happens, the implications. And this way of bulldozing our way kind of leads also to confrontations and misunderstandings. Or we can choose to be aware. And this forgiveness drill of Yom Kippur does not only develops awareness and empathy, but allows us to analyze our mistakes and help us to avoid them in the future. So really good skill. on the forgiveness one. Now, there is another skill that is relevant to the ritual of forgiveness and asking for forgiveness is that it relates to our ego. So basically, asking for forgiveness from someone makes you feel humbled and it makes you admit your mistakes. And this one is giving you a little bit of control over your ego. Now, your ego is, after all, some kind of a preoccupation that follows you wherever you go about what do people think about us? Do I live up to the expectation for myself? And so on and so on. Alan Watts once said that the ego is kind of a radar that frequently gets malfunctioned. So you have to calibrate the radar because it keeps on viewing some threats that do not even exist. And by admitting your mistakes and acknowledging the feelings of other people, that really helps to get control over your ego. So that's kind of recommended. And I want to say that also that controlling your ego will allow you to have some positive changes in yourself and increase your freedom levels. Because ego is one of the biggest cages out there. And we have a nomadic lifestyle blog, so we're definitely not in big favor of egos that are out of control. It's counter effective for us. Okay, now that we spoke about the first ritual, let's speak about the second one, which I actually view as the most important one of Yom Kippur. And over here, we're talking about redefining yourself. So Yom Kippur is a day that is, as I mentioned before, full of prohibitions. But it also gives you one very unique gift. So there is the first prayer of Yom Kippur, which is called Kol Nidrei. In a quick translation from Hebrew, it means all vows. Okay? And as the name hints, this actually gives you the ability, this prayer, to nullify all the vows and let's say promises you've made last year to yourself and to God. However you define God, but not to other people. So it means that you can kind of not follow the promises you've made to yourself and to God. However, the promises you've made to other people, unfortunately, you're still going to have to keep them. Now, we hardly make vows anymore. So you might think, hey, this is not really relevant for me. I didn't really make a vow of following something. But it is actually a big deal. Because if you analyze your life, our life is structured from the promises we've made to ourselves and the way we define ourselves. So in other words, our life is our story. And our story is very, very clear to ourselves and to people who surround us. They know exactly who we are and we know exactly who we are. Now, the vows that we've never taken are actually there. And Yom Kippur allows you to break them, okay? So this is a huge gift if you know how to use it well. So basically, Yom Kippur is a huge reset button of freedom where you can take time with yourself and decide of which vows do you annul, okay? Or which vows do you release? What part of your core definitions as a person you let go of? So I have to say that for me, it's amazing that a major religion supports an option where after one day of thinking, you can actually tell yourself, hey, this is not me anymore. And I think it's pretty awesome. Now, that means that even if the world sees you as an economist, a mother, as a lazy person, as depressed, you can restart. Okay, this is exactly the day where you say, hey, this is part of the story that I don't really enjoy and I'm going to let go of. I'm going to become someone new. So that's what the vows actually mean. It actually means sitting with yourself and figuring out what you want to be and what you don't want to be. And you can actually start from scratch. And the religion is encouraging this into redefinition of something new. And maybe you want to redefine yourself as a nomad. That's also an option. So the basic idea is that Judaism acknowledges that life is too short to be the same person every year. Let's go over for the practical steps over here. This is my recommendation and I'm still building and changing it, but this is what I basically do currently. I allocate an hour or so during the holiday, after the holiday starts, when you're still sharp and clear. That means that it has to be right after the holiday, because after that, after not eating and drinking for a while, the next day you're going to be a little bit on a zombie mode. And in this hour, you basically reflect on your life. And you concentrate less over here on your business goals, which I do, by the way, for New Year's, and more on yourself, on who you are. I usually use a pen and paper, which is totally prohibited by Jewish religion of Yom Kippur, but I said that I structured it a little bit. I did my little customizations. And then I basically answer the following questions. Who am I? What do I like about my story? What don't I like? Who do I want to become next year? Like someone different from who I am today. And what vows will I release? What part of my self-definition I will say goodbye to? So that's a powerful, powerful drill that I recommend to everyone, regardless of Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is a really nice push to do it because you got permission from God. What else do you need? Okay, moving on to another layer of Yom Kippur, which is basically the layer of disconnection. Now, Yom Kippur allows you to disconnect yourself from modern life. In this day, as we mentioned, you can't drive, and you're probably likely avoid walking too much since you don't want to spend your precious energy when you don't drink and eat. And that actually pushes you into spending most of the day thinking and contemplating, unless you run for the TV, but that's kind of your decision. In Israel, by the way, the roads are totally blocked. Nobody's driving. And the TV channels are kind of offline. And that creates kind of a complete reality change that I can really enjoy. Now, all the hustle and bustle will slow to a freeze during this day. And during this day, you really understand that there is a lot of noise around us. And this noise is taking us totally off focus. So having one day of quiet, of seeing reality changes, is beautiful. And it kind of makes you wonder if those are not how the things were meant to be before we jumped to the world of so much noise and, you know, blogs, podcasts, and so on and so on. So that's something that you should think about. Moving on to another layer of Yom Kippur, which is basically the abstention. So as we previously mentioned, Yom Kippur includes the challenge of not eating and drinking for over 24 hours. If you're more religious, you even have more prohibitions such as reading, writing, using electricity, and so on and so on. And I think this is good. And it's good for a very clear reason. It reminds us how dependent and fragile we are only after 25 hours of abstaining from things. So it's pretty powerful. In the modern world, we're used to getting our needs fulfilled very, very quickly. So it makes a lot of sense to teach ourselves this lesson. Regardless, I would like to say that personally, when Yom Kippur is coming to an end, you kind of have the feeling of, wow, I'm so happy I'm going to eat and drink, but also it's a pity it ends, because as we talked before, there are lots of benefits and kind of you do feel like there is a fresh start after that, and you kind of had the chance to read and write in your book of destiny, and now you're back to normal life. So let's go back to the abstention part. So practicing Yom Kippur and depriving yourself from the basic needs shows you that, one, you're fragile, and two, you can still survive for a short period without fulfilling needs and desires, which is also powerful on the other side. So as we talked about, yeah, you're a mess after 25 hours, but also you kind of feel a little bit powerful that you've actually went through an extended period of time and you just said no to everything. And that's pretty cool. So as we mentioned before, society is very consumption oriented. We consume whatever we want when we consume it. And that's why, by the way, we always need more money. And that's why we're creating attachments that sometimes we don't need. We lose a lot of freedom, degrees of freedom, because we confuse what we need and what we want. So Yom Kippur actually allows you to calibrate this as well. It shows you what is it that you need, which is eating and drinking, and what is it that you don't need, which is all the other stuff, by the way. So other than that, of teaching you how fragile you are, on the other side, teaching you how strong you are, that you can actually survive without fulfilling your needs, It also teaches you another very important lesson, which is the suffering. So basically, if you're going through 25 hours of not eating, not drinking, not using electricity, and extensively thinking about yourself and who you are and who you want to be and the mistakes you've done also, it creates a little bit of suffering. Now, suffering is good in the sense that it makes you understand also the suffering of others. It's very hard to relate to someone that is suffering from hunger, weakness, or emotional pain if you don't experience it. And Yom Kippur actually allows you to experience a very, very deep layer of suffering that can make you more open-minded and empathetic to the suffering of others. Your suffering is being done in a controlled environment, in a distilled environment, but still you're going to relate more to people when you actually see what they're going through, only by your own suffering as well. In the article, in the site, I'm recommending a few sources there that are basically speaking about the feeling of nothingness, something that you should do a practice on Yom Kippur, a little bit on the lack of meaning, the admiration to God. This is all good fun. A lot of the rituals of the Jewish traditions and the prayers are focused on that. There is a poem that I specifically like a lot by a poet and philosopher, Ibn Ezra, that was written about 1,000 years ago. And this one is, even for the non-religions, the religious people out there, it's pretty interesting to see what people wrote about 1,000 years ago. Let me just translate a little bit of the poem. To you, my God, to you, my spirit, to you, myself, with you, my corpse, to you, I resemble, to you, I don't resemble, to you, I scream, in you, I stick, until I'm back to my land. And what am I? Like a straw. And how would you remember my mistake? So basically, even 1,000 years ago, people were a total mess. And that's pretty awesome to see. And we'll just conclude this article and say that Yom Kippur is a great opportunity for internal growth and internal calibration. Tibetan spiritual leader called Milarepa that once said, "My religion is to live and die without regrets." And I think Yom Kippur is a nice big step into making sure that you're calibrated, know what you want, and can actually live life without regrets. So I recommend celebrating while you can. And if you're fasting in Yom Kippur, have an easy day. And if you don't, I hope you learned a few things that might be valuable for you. And enjoy the week. We're going to have all the show notes for this on becomenomad.com. You can just search Become Nomad in Yom Kippur on Google and you're going to reach this article. That's basically it. Have a great week. Bye-bye.